I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 7. Luke 7. Luke 7, and I'd like to begin in verse 11. The Lord had healed a centurion. That's an officer, a soldier, over 100 men. And this centurion, it says in the first part of chapter 7, verses 2 to 10. But what happened was this centurion's servant was sick. And he was, Scripture says in chapter 7, verse 2, he was ready to die. And this centurion heard that the Lord Jesus was close by. He sent the elders, the Jews, and he besought him that he would heal his servant. And centurion told him, he said, I'm not worthy to even come into your presence, nor am I worthy for you to come to me. He said, if you'll speak the word, he said, my servant, behold. And the Lord was pleased to heal that servant. Now, in verse 11, it says, it came to pass the day after, the next day, that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. There were some people that truly knew him, and some didn't. His disciples, his apostles, and a lot of people. And verse 12 says, and when he came nigh to the gate of the city, he was coming up to the gate that went into the city of Nain, and it says, behold, there was a dead man carried out, only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. Now here's the first thing that I see in what we've read thus far. What sorrow sin has brought into this world. A widow woman's son. Her only son, is what it said. There was a dead man carried out in verse 12, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. Here was a widow woman that was going to bury her boy. Carried him to the graveyard. You know, there was not one point so far in this event that was just not filled with misery. This woman had lost her husband. Now she's lost her only boy. Possibly the only source of help, support, and comfort. She had a bitter past, a bitter present, and very possibly a hopeless future. Without strength, she didn't have anything. The misery that sin has brought into this world. By one man, Romans 5:12 says, by one man, sin entered the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that, or in the margin it says, in whom, talking about Adam's rebellion, in that, all have sinned. Everybody. Now to understand the significance of this passage, I want us to realize that this situation right here sets forth the glorious mercy, grace, power of Almighty God in the salvation again. just like we looked at in the first message, of his elect. Now that dead boy, that dead son, only son of his mama, is a picture, is a type, and I'll show you this, of God's sheep, God's elect, God's bride. They're the Lord's, but they're born dead because of Adam's transgression. He's truly dead, just like those dry bones that we looked at. This boy's dead. I know he's dead because Ephesians 2:1 talks about after the Lord regenerates, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. It's going to take the Spirit of God, I know that, to convince a man or woman of that, but if the Lord does, they'll realize, I'm dead. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. In Adam's transgression, when he died, we died. And here's this boy. This boy is a picture of what we are, all of us are, when we come into this world. Now listen to this. Verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. I was reading over that this passage this morning again, going over my notes, and that struck me. Again, I went back and read that, and I thought, now this boy's dead. The boy's dead. And it says, when the Lord saw his mama, he saw her. He had compassion on her and said to her, weep not. You know, the beauty of seeing the Lord's compassion on one for the sake of another. He had compassion on this woman. That's what he said. He saw her, had compassion on her. You know, when David called, he said, is there any of the house of Saul that I can show mercy, compassion to? Why? For Jonathan's sake. Jonathan was David's friend. David and Jonathan loved each other. Jonathan asked David, he said, when you're made the king, and Saul was Jonathan's daddy. Saul was the king. And Jonathan knew that David was going to be the king. He said, Would you show mercy to my family? Would you remember my family? David said, I will. And David said, is there any of the house of Saul that I can show mercy to for Jonathan's sake? The Lord looked at this woman and had compassion on her. And he said to her, don't cry. Don't cry. Mercy, compassion for the sake of another. Listen to this, 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children. Now listen to this. Because your sins are forgiven you for his sake. Not for our sake, for his sake. Almighty God has shown mercy to his people for Christ's sake, for his sake. And for that I'm thankful. Oh, the compassion of our Lord. He saw her, had compassion on her. Here she was, without help, without hope. Boy's dead. His mama couldn't help her boy, and the boy certainly couldn't help herself. And the Lord came in verse 14, it says, and he came and touched the bier. In my margin here, it says the coffin, but what it probably was, the bier was probably a platform that the coffin was on. He came and he touched that bier. That coffin was on. There our Lord set forth mercy and compassion that he was going to set forth his affiliation with death. That boy was dead. The Lord reached out and touched him. The Lord had compassion on his mama. Told her, he said, "Don't cry, weep not." And he touched the bier that her boy was being carried on. Here our Lord touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Saw her, had compassion on her. And that compassion, and remember now, he said he had compassion on her. That compassion that he had on that mother was totally bound up in his glory, in his will. Show me your glory. He said, "I'm going to have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." He said, "Don't cry." Then I want you to notice the Almighty God and his power. He touched that bier, and they that bear him stood still. And he said, now just think about what we just heard concerning these dry bones. What do you want me to do, Lord? He said, "You preach to those dry bones." The Lord Jesus Christ is talking to a dead man. This boy's dead. He's in a coffin. He's being carried out and he's going to the graveyard. They're getting ready to put him in the ground. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." The scripture set forth that the Lord came in verse 14. He came, he touched, and he said, I'll bet you when they stopped that funeral procession and the Lord walked up, he didn't say anything to the woman. He just saw her, had compassion on her. He told her to not weep. Then he touched that bier. They stopped and he said to the young man, I say to you, arise. I bet you could have heard a pin drop. That man's dead. The one who is going to wipe away all the tears said to this woman, don't cry. And the Lord, who would not shrink from the association of himself with the death and the grave of his people, one made sin for us who knew no sin, said to a dead corpse, get up. I say to you, get up. And the scripture says in verse 15, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. He that was dead. Roll away the stone. Martha said, Lord, by now, Lazarus, her brother, he'd been dead 4 days. He's began to stink by now. He said, did I not tell you that you're going to see the glory of God? Lazarus, come forth. And he came out of the grave. This boy, at the word of the Lord, dead, formerly dead, he got up and he started talking. This is how God Almighty calls his own out of the darkness of unbelief, the deadness of their sins. This is how he's going to raise his people from the dead in the last day. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." This is how God calls his people out today. He says to dead, dry bones, "O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." The Spirit of God comes and takes that word in power and gives a new heart, and they hear. They hear. And they believe. And they come. This boy got up. Got up. He heard the word of God. John 5:28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." Now, I'm going to just tell you this. This is what God has to say, and this is what we know is so. We're going to hear the dead. "And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." This young man got up and he began to speak. It's not recorded what he said. But you can rest assured, this young man gave praise and honor and glory to the one that made him whole. And let me tell you the first thing this boy saw, first thing he recognized, I bet you. I'm in a coffin. I'm in a coffin. And these people are carrying me. And here's my mama. Look at all these people around here. I was on my way to the graveyard. Deliver them from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. And he delivered that young man to his mama. Great fear fell upon him. This is how God saves sinners. By the grace of God, for almost 60 years, the Lord has allowed the gospel to be preached here. I thank the Lord for that. And I pray once again today. Lord, bless these words to our heart. Holy Spirit, come in power. Lord, save the dead. Lord, speak life. If the Lord has saved you, given you a realization that you're a helpless sinner, you can't save yourself, that life is only in Christ, and giving you a heart to trust Him, then confess Him in baptism. For His sake and for our eternal good.